morning, church. It's great to be able to come and share with you today. It's such a privilege and an opportunity. And so, welcome to everyone. You can hear that I'm a little nasally. Woke up this morning with a bit of a blocked nose and a runny nose, so if I sound different. But I went this morning, it's going to sound very similar to a Christmas story, but I assure you, Mark even might preach from the same passage from today on Tuesday, but that's up to him. If you have your Bibles, why don't you turn to Luke chapter 2. We're going to read from verse 8 until verse 20. And I wanted just to focus a little bit this morning. Obviously, everything that we share, this is about Jesus. So I'm not replacing Jesus with shepherds. Don't worry about that. But I want to just take a look at the importance of the shepherds and why they were chosen. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be reading from Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 20. Now there were in country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Be the sign to you, and a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." So it was when the angels had gone from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which they made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, as it was told them. Let us pray this morning. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for your love, thank you for your grace, and thank you for another opportunity, Lord. I said earlier to come and to praise you, to worship you, to give back the sacrifice of praise to our God. And yes, Lord, we do come looking to be blessed by you, and we do want to be blessed. We hear your word and be encouraged and equipped. But this morning, Lord, that our mindset would be one of coming to give to you, to worship you. Coming to see what the Lord has done. Father, in all things this morning, have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I often ask myself when reading this text, I ask myself, why did the angel appear to shepherds of all people? Why shepherds? I mean, the king of the world has just been born, and here an angel appears to a couple of sheep people. I was going to say Australians, but then I thought. But I have a feeling that it would look a little different today. I'm just going to paint a bit of a picture for you. Bear with me, but I'm going to paint a little bit of a picture for you. Okay. If Jesus was born in the 21st century, this is how I think it would go. All right, all the presidents, kings, prime ministers, authorities of the world, all right, they would be the first to know, naturally, okay? Like if aliens invaded the earth, they'd be the first to know, and they'd keep it from us, all right? But with this, all people would know. They'd hear about the one who's supposed to be born King of Kings. I can just imagine that they would task their best media, all right? CNN, Sky News, those kind of people. They're going to come out with the cameramen. They'll leave the B team at home and only bring the A team. This is important, you know. The whole world would know about it, all right? They're going to set up outside that Bethlehem, and everyone is going to know about it. People will be watching from their home, watching from coffee shops, people watching from work. They'll be watching on their iPhones and their tablets and their iPads and everywhere you can go, walking along the streets. Not many TVs with news on these days in the streets, but people would know that you're born. All right, and just like in the movies, it would probably be the president of the USA that would go and meet the child. Although, I'm not sure today. And they're probably going to buy this child, all right, Jesus, probably something fancy, something expensive, something he's never going to use. All right, so like a mer or a diamond the size of a watermelon or something. It's going to be big. It's going to be something that they can show off. How cool they are in giving this gift to him. And this is what I think it would look like today. And if we had to translate that back down to 2,000 years plus, when Jesus was born, all right, the exact picture I painted you, then it would have been the kings. It would have been the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, those temple. They would have received the news. They would have sent their top heralds with the loudest voice, "Hear ye, hear ye." So that everyone would hear, they'd tell everybody. Because that's exactly how it happened, right? No. One angel appeared to a handful of shepherds. Common folk in those days. And they received the great news that the world would, well, the first part of the greatest news that the world would ever, that Jesus, the King of Kings, was being born. So this angel appears to the shepherds, not the kings. So who were that they should be eyewitnesses of God's glory and the first recipients of this birth announcement ever. Ever. In Christ's time, shepherds stood on the bottom rung of the social ladder. They were low. They were equal only to tax collectors, those who used to sweep poop off the ground. That was their social status. But this was not always the case, all right? Because at the very beginning of time, shepherding was actually a noble occupation in God's kingdom. It was something that was looked up to, all right? Many of the early biblical figures were shepherds. Abel, all right? Abel. I almost said Abel killed Cain. Get your stories right, Ross. Was a shepherd. Abraham, Moses, even David was a shepherd. They were all shepherds called to a noble profession, all right? Yes, many of them went on to lead God's people. But they started out humble. However, when the 12 tribes went over to Egypt, they found something different to what they were used to. Shepherding wasn't the thing, all right? Agriculture. Agriculture was the thing. Okay, it wasn't me. It was Terry. He jumped. Agriculture was the thing that they were into. And they despised shepherding because it meant that sheep would kill their crops. So there was this, if I can call it a sheep. Did I say sheep? I said sheep. Heard wrong. I apologize. And sort of a war that was started. Not really a war, but there was this againstness. I'm going to make up words this morning. They were against sheep because of what their sheep and goats did, all right? And they would go and kill their crops. I'm losing my place here. They faced ridicule and hate social setting by those whose society considered better than them because they weren't. So the angel appears to them, the shepherds, to the lowest of the social ladder and delivers some incredible, incredible news, all right? And it says, we need to deliver good tidings of great joy. All right, so good news of great joy. All of the earth, all the people of the earth will receive. And I love the contrast to the good news of Christ at a later stage. Contrast, the similarity rather. So the good news that Jesus is now born, later on we hear the good news that Jesus has died and risen again. And so it's so cool to see the grace that gospel, if I can say, coming through, even when Jesus being born. Notice what the scripture says about the angel appearing to the shepherds. Yes, he came to tell them that Jesus was being born, about the birth. But they got more than just the news, the shepherds. They got to face, experience, and see the glory of God. I want to read it to you quickly. The Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And the Bible says they were terrified. And they were terrified. And maybe I'm reaching at straws here, but I wonder why they were terrified. You know, the glory of God, biblical, well, most of the scriptures, when they speak about the glory of God, it speaks about something so incredible that man cannot stand to look at God's face, or else he dies. But Exodus 24, 17 gives us a good description of what it should look like, or what it would look like. And it says, the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. The glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on top of a mountain. So I don't know about you, but if I see that when an angel appeared, I'd be afraid too. But there's something so soothing and so calming about an angel and the words he speaks and says, because they listen to him. They hear what he has to take it at face value. They believe it. They were told not to be afraid because the news he brings will be a joy in all the people. And so to make things even more spectacular than just the glory of, it says that a multitude of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel. What's the heavenly host? It's just the armies of the Lord. Or the armies of angels of the Lord. So a multitude of angels, of God, of heaven's angels appeared. And what were they doing? They were worshiping. Glory to God in the highest. We just sang that song, O Come All Ye Faithful. Glory to God, glory in the highest. And this is such an incredible encounter with the angels that we often overlook and don't take notice of. The shepherds, however, they got a first experience of this. But now it seems that through this encounter and through everything, the task, it might not be plain in bold letters that the shepherds were now given a task, but it's there. They were given something to do. How do we know this? Because the angel said, this will be the sign to you. In other words, go and look for it. Go and look out to see if what we're saying is true, and then you will know what to do. So they did. They went to see if it was true. The angels decided to go. Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's go to see what the angel has told. Verse 12 says, this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in clothes in a manger. So if there was any doubt in their mind that this was what was true at all, a small trip to Bethlehem, which was apparently nearby, would clear it up. So they go, and what do they find? They find exactly what the angel said. Baby Jesus lying in a manger with Joseph and Mary. Now for me, this is where it gets really exciting. All right, I'm not going to tell you about the Christmas story about baby Jesus. Mark can do that on Tuesday. But I want to focus on how the shepherds were now used by God, the work of the kingdom of God, even as early as Jesus being born. And what they did next has a direct correlation and connection to the work they have been called to do as believers as well. So I'm going to point. So firstly, they came to Jesus and they saw. And they believed the truth, right, about what the angel, that a child is being born in a manger, a savior who is God. They came, they saw him, and they believed. And in this case, it was the savior had been. But for us today, the same thing happens, all right? God convicts us and sends us where? Straight to Jesus. When we're convicted of our sins, when we recognize that we're sinful, when we recognize that we're a savior, the Holy Spirit sends us straight to the feet of Jesus. And it wasn't that the Savior had been born for us, because we know he's been born thousands of years ago. But for us, it's known that he died and that he rose again for us. That is the truth that we go and believe. And so the shepherds believed the truth about him being born. We believe the truth about Jesus dying and rising again for us. So there's a connection there. That was number one. Number two, they went out. All right, this is part of the task that inadvertently had been given. They went out and told people. The Bible says they went and they told everyone that what they'd heard and what they'd seen. Everything they saw and experienced was probably so real and so life-changing to them that they felt to go and tell everyone about it. And wide. They didn't care that they were the only shepherd. They didn't care that they were only shepherds and that people might not listen to them because they, in their eyes, were not really anything great. They were didn't have a high social standing. They might not believe them. They didn't care. They went. They told people. And this is where I find it so incredible, is that God used shepherds who people didn't listen to share a message that people did listen to. That's incredible to me. Anything would have gone and said, most people would have just passed them by. But the news of Christ, God used simple people to tell a simple story. And people were, the Bible says, people were amazed at what. People were amazed. How many of us can say that we have gone and told everybody we know about what we experienced when we met Jesus? Yeah, this morning, and you've met Jesus, you've found him, you've accepted him as your savior, now you're living a life for Christ. Have you told every single person in your life that you know, man, I'm a follower of Jesus, about him? There's probably very few of us who have done that. And not only that, but how many of the people we have told have responded like the people did to the shepherds then? How many of them are amazed at what they hear about Jesus when we share? See, the shepherds went out and told people. They didn't even have a scripture saying that now you must go and tell people that Jesus is born. They just went and did. We do. We do have that verse. We have a scripture that says, go to the earth and make disciples. Go tell them the good news of Jesus. But a lot of us don't. And I wonder why sometimes my mind ticks and I'm going, why is it that people aren't telling people about Jesus? Why is it that I sometimes don't tell people about Jesus? I mean, the opportunity arrives, it's there, and then I chicken out or I back out. Or I say, no, I need to build a relationship with this person. And sometimes that's true. I'm not denying that. But why? And I've come to realize that it comes from the passion we have for Jesus. And I think when you first meet Jesus, you're so alive, you're so on fire, you're so excited about what he's done for you, the freedom that you found because of the bondage that you were in. And then as time and time goes on, you kind of start to just get comfortable and complacent. And it doesn't matter anymore. As long as I have Jesus, I'm cool, heaven. What about everybody else that Jesus has tasked you to tell? Where are they going? Do the people we know look at us and say, hey, wasn't that the guy that was telling us about Jesus? Wow, amazing story. Man, I'm amazed at this guy Jesus. Are people impacted by the fact that Jesus has changed your life? Number two, and finally, the scripture tells us that the shepherds returned and praised God. They glorified God. Why? Because of what they had seen and heard. It had been just as they were told. It was almost confirmation to the truth that they, or to the thing they were told. They went and they saw and they told people, and now they return to honor, to praise, to glorify God for all these events. And some of us do walk around with a few doubts regarding Jesus. Some of us do. And I don't think we need to beat ourselves up every time we doubt, because we doubt quite often. But we don't kind of like to remain there. And so maybe for some it's believing, you know, that we can really have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you're like, that just doesn't make sense in my head. You know, the very person who died now wants to be, for lack of a better word, my friend. He wants to have an intimate friendship and relationship with me. How does that work? Maybe for others, it's doubting that he can forgive, truly forgive us. Maybe you saying, hey man, I've done so much wrong. I've messed up so many times. How can Jesus forgive me? I don't know about that. There's a little bit of doubt that casts into your mind. Whatever it is. But when you experience the truth of the thing that you were doubting, what is your reaction? What is your reaction? Because I know for me, if I ever had a doubt, and that doubt was just taken away because I found truth about what I was doubting. So say for instance, for me, it was for a while forgiveness back in the day. When I say back in the years ago, I'm not that old. All right, and it was that. It was, man, I've just messed up so badly. How can God forgive me? And I haven't messed up nearly half as bad as some people. But this is how I felt. And through a scripture that became alive to me, that became a promise to me. 1 verse 9 says, if you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Man, that came alive to me. And my reaction when I realized that this tool of the enemy to make me doubt that I can be forgiven, worship, praise God, honor God, glorify God. I just passion back again. That was my reaction. What's your reaction? Do you react in praise and glory to God? Or is it just another cool thing that you carry on with your day? Because for me, when that happens, I can't just carry on as I was. Something in me changes. I don't know about you guys. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. But something in me changes. If I've lived a couple of months complacent in some sin or something and neglecting God, neglecting my time with him, whatever it may be, when that realization comes and hits me like that, like a bat across, I can't just carry on. Something has to change. Something's in me and says, you can't live like this. God has rescued you. God has redeemed you from that place. Now you need to honor him. Now you need to praise him. You need to glorify him. And so that's my reaction. And I don't know about you, but in this whole passage, I see the work and the love of God. He appears to the weakest and the lowest in the eyes of the world. Then he gives a sign of what has been told to them, that it is true, that they can believe it. They've seen it with their very eyes. They experience the very presence of God more than we probably, well, we can actually. I can't say more than we can. Because of Jesus, we can. We can experience God's presence. But they experienced him so closely, they could see his glory. And out of this excitement, out of this energy for God, they spread the word about Jesus and they respond to all of this, everything that's happened, in worship and in praise to their King. I ask you this morning, what is your response? Are you like the shepherds? Have you experienced the grace and truth of God in a real way? And has it filled you with the promised joy? The joy that will be for all people. Now, are you going to keep that joy for yourself and hoard it? Or are you going to go and share it with others? Will you risk people not believing you, saying you're crazy, looking down on you anyway, and then tell them, regardless of what they say? Or will you prefer to have people look as not crazy, as not weird, and just withhold the truth? And then recognize the goodness and grace of God and give him the praise that he deserves. And I get it, not everyone likes singing, but that's not the only way you can praise God. So you might come to church and say, oh, well, I'm not really a worship person. That's how one's a worship person. Worship's been ingrained in us from the very day we were born. It is nature as a human being. It's what we choose to worship that matters. We spoke about how shepherds were seen as worthless and low in society, but he used them to do some of the greatest works in Scripture. David was a shepherd, became a king. whether famous or not, popular or not, whether we're seen as important or not. I'm not ashamed to be used by God. I'm not ashamed to tell people about God. Why is that scripture named of the gospel? For it is the power of God. And if God can use a mere shepherd, he can use you and I. Most of us here, when we sit here in church, we're not businessmen, we're not doctors, we're not accountants, we're nothing special, we're people. We're sons and daughters of God. And we're simple people. We've come here for a simple purpose. And God can use you. God wants to use you. And if he can use shepherds to tell the word of Jesus, he can use little old Ganubi Baptist to tell the world about the good news of Jesus and the grace that comes with it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our King and our Savior. Thank you for Jesus. Father, just as the shepherds came and saw him and were able to experience our Savior face to face, Lord, at some point or another, long opportunity to experience you face to face. And firstly, Lord, I want to pray that we take it. God, that because of what you've done for us, we would how much we need you. But more than that, God, because of how we are, we would recognize how much we need you. And God, that we would respond with that passion, with that excitement to go out, even if it starts here in Ganubi, in our friend circles, in our work groups, people we see in the shop. Lord, may they experience the love of Jesus through us. Lord, may we not be ashamed to tell them about who you are and what you've done. And God, may they be amazed. You are our God and our King. And Lord, with our lives, we want to honor you, we want to worship you, we want to glorify you, God. I pray, Father, that you would give us the strength, that you would give us the boldness. Father God, that we would be so secure in our identity in Christ that the world view of us does not matter, that only your view of us matters, and that we would act accordingly. Jesus, thank you for your grace. We pray that as we go our separate ways today, Lord, may you help us to remember this. May you provide us with opportunities, God, to share the love of Jesus with them. And may you give us the wisdom and the words to know exactly what to say and how to say it. God, we thank you. We give you all the glory and all the honor, for you are mighty, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everyone. You're welcome to tea and coffee in the hall. Otherwise, have a blessed week. See you Tuesday.